or visit FlemingFinancialServices.com.
You spent your whole life setting yourself up financially so you can relax and enjoy the rest of your life. And what's the most important thing? Family and your loved ones. And nothing will help a relationship and marriage better than having an intimate relationship with your spouse. If erectile dysfunction or low testosterone is affecting your ability to be intimate, call Summit Male Medical, 480-398-1000, or go to summitmalemedical.com. Let our Arizona-licensed doctors and all male medical staff help you with FDA-approved medication to give you blue-chip performance. We guarantee to help you, or we won't charge you. Happy wife, happy life. I've yet to find a woman that isn't interested in being romantically involved with their husband. So make it happen. You've taken charge financially. Now do it with your love life. Call 480-398-1000 or go to summitmalemedical.com.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. Your low-price journey starts at Discount Tire.
The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician. If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
Good afternoon, Arizona. It's time for Doctor Talk with Dr. Belinda Barclay-White, a board-certified radiologist who specializes in breast imaging and breast-related issues, and Dr. Carrie Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. This show is about your health care, your well-being, and your life. Get the latest information and answers to your questions from nationally recognized physicians and healthcare experts. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's Facebook.com/Dr. Talk. It's time for Dr. Talk with hosts Dr. Barclay White and Dr. Bordinko.
Welcome to another Saturday edition of Dr. Talk. As always, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy weekends to listen in for an hour about an interesting new health topic. And today we're going to be talking about breast cancer. So I think we're going to have a lot of individuals out there who have some personal stories or family stories related to this topic. And we're hoping that we can help you empower and take back control of your health care. So today we have a really packed studio. We have a lot of people in this small room today. And it's so gorgeous outside. I think most people would rather be outside today. But Dr. Barclay White and myself are going to talk to you, and we're going to bring in some great guests on the topic of breast cancer. And, you know, why did we pick this? I think the stats are pretty impressive. About 1 in 8 U.S. women will develop an invasive breast cancer over the course of their lifetime. So that's 12%. And I think that's a pretty staggering number. I don't know if we all realize quite how common breast cancer really is.
And I always remind people that's if you live to age 90. So at the age of 50 or 60, it's obviously not 1 in 8. But actually, if you live until age 90, it is 1 in 8. And I think it's even been rounded down to 1 in 7 fairly recently.
Yeah, and I work really hard to get people to live to age 90. So. You know, what that comes out to in 2014, we have an estimated 232,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer that will be anticipated to be diagnosed in the U.S., with 62,000 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer. And we're going to spend some time over the next hour explaining the differences between those two types and what it means to the individual that's living through that cancer diagnosis.
Yes.
So, Belinda, you spend the greater part of your day, your week, dealing with breast cancer.
That's right. I'm a diagnostic radiologist who specializes in breast imaging. So I do spend a large part of my week talking about breast cancer. Luckily, most of my patients don't have breast cancer, and actually I'm giving people good news on a daily basis, but sometimes I have to give people bad news. So if a woman comes in for a screening mammogram and we find a abnormality, which could be a discrete lump, it could be an area of architectural distortion, it could be microcalcifications. Those three things can be indicators of something going on. Most of the time, those things don't turn out to be cancer. But there's unfortunately a workup that that woman has to go through to get to the answer, is it cancer or isn't it cancer? So lumps tend to be ultrasounded, and we can tell whether they're cystic, in which case they're totally unworrying, and that woman can go home and come back next year. Whether they're solid, and some solid lumps do look like they could be cancers. Probably about 50% of the time a solid lump, we're going to worry, is a cancer. Those women will probably need a needle biopsy to make that diagnosis. And then some women will have microcalcifications on their screening mammogram, for which we have to do additional magnification views. And depending on what those microcalcifications look like, they could be an indicator of this pre-invasive breast cancer, which is ductal carcinoma in situ, which we alluded to earlier.
You know, we had a prior show where we talked about the importance of mammograms and screenings, and we've done some videos on the importance of that also. And, you know, I don't think we can understress that. You know, we have to just keep talking about the importance of catching these screenings. But I know a lot of women are scared to go to that mammogram and get that screening just because of the lumps that you're talking about and the fear factor that goes along with being told you have one and what do I do next? So today's show is all about what do I do next and what does that lump mean?
Right. And I think the more educated women are, the less scary it is. You know, even a you have a lump is still most of the time going to turn out not to be cancer. But as soon as a woman hears there's an abnormal mammogram, because there's so much talk about breast cancer, and we're also surrounded by people, you know, friends, loved ones that have been through it, the first thing you think, and it's really difficult to think otherwise, is, oh my God, what if I have breast cancer? So I try and move people through that system very quickly, from the time of, yes, your mammogram's abnormal, to it's just a cyst, go home, or yes, we need to do a needle biopsy to make sure this isn't cancer. And the quicker we can do that, the less anxiety producing it is.
Right. And one of the guests that we have in the studio today is going to talk to us especially about assessing that lump, you know, because once again, not all of them are going to end up being cancer. The term you'll hear a lot is malignancy. And this surgeon who's going to join us today is going to talk to us about how easy she can take care of that, get you that right answer so you do not have the stress and anxiety around the abnormal mammogram. So that's going to be really informative to our listeners today.
Absolutely. And again, the faster we can get that lady through the system, the less anxiety and the better she's going to do all around, because it's the waiting and not knowing that is so difficult for patients.
Okay, and I just want to remind our male listeners out there, it's not time for you to turn off the radio today because we do have breast cancer in men.
Absolutely. It's 100 times less common than it is in women, but it does occur.
And I wonder if, because men don't really think about it, if it's more advanced when it's found.
Actually, on the whole, we know that men do worse, so it probably is more advanced when found. But we will be addressing that, hopefully, with Dr. Walker and Dr. Andres. So let me introduce Dr. Walker.
We have two guests in the studio today. So
Dr. Lisa Walker is a surgeon who specializes in breast surgery. I've worked with her for a number of years here in Phoenix. She's definitely my favorite top doc. And Lisa came originally as she is a fellow of the American College of Surgeons, who's practiced in Phoenix since 2001. She obtained her doctorate in medicine from Jefferson Medical College in Philadelphia and completed her residency at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. So that makes you a flight surgeon? Is that right? Is that
not a flight surgeon, but yes. In the Army for 11 years, so, and loved it.
So she has studied with Dr. Richard Fine and Phil Israel, who really were pioneers in breast surgery. Prior to that time, really most surgery was done by general surgeons, and they've done women a huge service by specializing in breast surgery and teaching that. So welcome, Lisa. It's really great that you gave up a Saturday morning to be here. We're very grateful.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we have a second guest in the studio today because we really want to make this a comprehensive show for our listeners, for our female listeners out there, on the full component of what you do once you're told you have an abnormal mammogram and maybe you're being pushed into this as a surgical treatment option. So we also have a plastic and reconstructive surgeon in the studio today, and that's Dr. Andreas. And he's a well-respected and leading board-certified plastic and reconstructive surgeon here in the Phoenix-Scottsdale area. He obtained his education in neuroscience and medicine from Columbia and Harvard, along with his training at Michigan State University. He's one of the premier plastic surgeons and the only surgeon in the Valley with advanced fellowship training in advanced aesthetic and microsurgical breast reconstruction. And that's going to be a really big topic when we get into the later segments of our show, because a lot of women, once they do get this diagnosis, they want to know right away, what are my reconstructive options? So we're going to help them understand that and how that works with the team as well. He also has expertise as the lone private surgeon in the Southwest to offer the microsurgical DIEP flap breast reconstruction procedure. And we're going to get into more detail on what that means when we get into the future segments of the show. So we have, once again, a packed studio. And let's not forget our last guest that's sitting here as well. We have Deborah. And Deborah actually is a consumer, or as we like to call him, a patient, who's gone down this journey on breast cancer. And she's going to kind of weigh in and help our listeners understand what it means to have breast cancer, what that journey looks like, and help us understand as physicians how we can help people better in this when they get this diagnosis and understand.
So I have to tell this. Oh, I will tell the story after the break.
After the break.
There's the music.
Okay, you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 99.3, 1510 AM. And we'll be right back after the commercial break.
Do you dread having your annual screening mammogram? For a totally different experience, give Arizona BreastNet a call. Our all-female staff provides you with years of expertise and immediate results in a clean, state-of-the-art, spa-like facility that respects your mind, your body, and your time. If, on the other hand, you have a new breast lump or breast-related finding, call Arizona BreastNet today for an immediate appointment and consultation with a doctor who will give you your results at the time of your visit. At Arizona BreastNet, you will never have to wonder, worry, or wait. Get your results today and call 480-314-7600. That's 480-314-7600 for an immediate appointment, or you can visit us online at breastnet.net for more information.
When you're driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
So welcome back to Dr. Talk. On this lovely Saturday morning in Phoenix, I have here in the studio with me Dr. Lisa Walker, who is a breast surgeon, and Dr. Luis Andres Albert. Okay, Albert Andres, who is a plastic reconstructive surgeon. Welcome, both of you, and welcome, Dr. Andres, because we cut you off in the first segment.
Thank you for having me.
So, Lisa, I would like to sort of start off a little bit. My sort of job in all of this is to diagnose the women with cancer. as soon as we have that diagnosis, I like to get them onto the next step as quickly as possible for obvious reasons. They come to you then with a new diagnosis. But before we get to that, how many of your patients come to you with their cancer having been found on the mammogram versus they felt their cancer and they came in with a breast lump? So do you tend to see patients that have been worked up, you know, with previous imaging, or do you still see women that come in with a breast lump directly to you from their referring physician?
I think fortunately today the majority of women are diagnosed mammographically, and that's you doing your job. And so we still certainly see women who, for one reason or another, either haven't been getting their mammograms or they can develop interval cancer. So they've had a mammogram and then some point afterwards feel a lump, and so they come in. But again, most women today, certainly women who are doing their screening and their checkups, are going to be diagnosed early through the mammograms.
Which is definitely an improvement over 50 years ago when women felt their cancer, or even worse still, sort of saw their cancer in the mirror as it ulcerated through the chest wall. And, I mean, we rarely see that these days. We see it, unfortunately. I probably see 3 or 4 cases a year where women have just been in denial and didn't want to do anything about it. But the reality is, if your cancer is diagnosed on a mammogram these days, the chance of you surviving that is 85%, maybe even better, depending on the type of cancer you have. So, you know, when I'm giving someone that diagnosis, I'm actually able most of the time to say, you're going to be okay. And that's the first thing a woman wants to know. Am I going to die from this disease? And I'm most of the time able to reassure them, absolutely not, you're going to be fine.
Sure. There are many factors that play into, you know, long-term outcomes. And tumor staging, size being one of the points of staging, is very important. So the smaller we find the tumor, the less radical the treatment, the less surgery may be involved, the less drug therapy may be involved, the less radiation may be involved. So that is everyone's goal, is to find the tumor early and hopefully, you know, curtail some of the more invasive or more radical treatments.
So what percentage of your patients these days would you say have mastectomies versus lumpectomies, where they just remove the tumor and leave the breast? The mastectomy, obviously, they're removing the entire breast. What percentage?
It's probably about 60-40. So 60% of women today are doing lumpectomy, 40% are doing mastectomy. And that's actually a trending away from 70% lumpectomy and 30% mastectomy, which was more of a trending maybe 10 years ago. So for very many reasons, there has been, you know, over the past decade, the curves are getting closer in terms of, you know, mastectomy versus lumpectomy. So, you know, 20 years ago, it was all pretty much lumpectomy, you know. I mean, excuse me, mastectomy. So breast conservation really came into being in the 80s. And then through the 90s, we saw the incidence of lumpectomy, breast conservation, take off. And through most of the 90s and early 2000s, it was far outweighed, you know, lumpectomy far outweighed mastectomy, and now the curves are coming closer again.
So for our ladies listening out there, how do they know if they're being given the right options between mastectomy and lumpectomy? Is there a resource they can go to? Is it based solely on the size of the tumor? How can we educate them to ask the surgeon they're sitting in front of, what are my options if they want to look at conservation of their breast?
So there are a number of things that we look at to decide whether someone is, in fact, a candidate for lumpectomy, you know, for breast conservation. You have to look at the size of the tumor. You have to look at the size of the breast. You have to take into account other factors in their health. Some women are unable to do radiation. So if we preserve the breast, if we're doing a lumpectomy, it generally is going to be followed by a course of radiation. And there are some folks who have certain medical problems, certain certain connective tissue diseases where you cannot radiate them. So that person may be best served with a mastectomy rather than preserving their breast. So there are a number of factors. You know, the surgeon's expertise, I mean, most surgeons are pretty well schooled in lumpectomies as well as mastectomies, but you still see some regional differences. Some areas of the Midwest, you know, more rural practices where they may not even have access to radiation, you're going to see a much higher rate of mastectomy being performed. So there are regional differences, some surgeon differences, but bottom line, it becomes, you know, a personal decision as well with the patient. What can the surgeon offer that patient, and what does the patient prefer?
So it sounds as if for our listeners, this is a great opportunity that they should, if they have the time and they have the resources, they should get more than one surgical opinion, because they may actually get different opinions.
That's true. I mean, many women today will seek a second opinion. Yes.
So explain to us how we bring Dr. Andres into the equation, and when do we bring him into the equation?
Okay. So with my consultation with the patient, you know, we explore the options. You know, first, it has to come to me first. Do I feel that the patient is a good lumpectomy candidate or not? I mean, sometimes I have to tell the patient, you need a mastectomy. So if a patient prefers to do a mastectomy, or if I feel she needs to do a mastectomy, then the next question is, how does she feel about reconstruction? I mean, today, we want to be able to offer immediate reconstruction to our patients. And so the majority of women, fortunately, who do undergo mastectomy today can be offered immediate reconstruction. So that is not going to be done by the breast surgeon, by me, but that's going to be done at the same time in conjunction with the reconstructive surgeon. And so Dr. Andres, I work a lot with him. And so once I see the patient, and if that's the path that we're going down, then the patient will see Dr. Andres and discuss different reconstructive options with him. So usually the plastic surgeon gets involved once the patient has decided she wants to have a mastectomy and explore reconstruction options.
So Dr. Andres, can you give us a sort of rundown of what options are out there? I mean, the options are very many these days from what it used to be. So can you give us a sort of overall availability of what sort of reconstruction is out there?
Sure. There's, like you said, there's there's several options that women have today. There's basically, if you just break it down, there's going to be implant-based reconstruction and then flap-based reconstruction. Implant-based reconstruction is going to be obviously the most popular. It's the most common one, maybe about 70% of all breast reconstructions done with the implants alone. It's going to be the simplest procedure, the least complex, least recuperation time, with some very, very nice results that we have today. However, there are other options as well, and that's going to be the flap-based reconstruction. Basically, what that is you're using the patient's own tissue to reconstruct their breast, either using the tissue available either from the belly or the back or the thigh or the buttock. So some very, very innovative ways that we can do it today. Arguably, those can have some more durable results as well as more natural results because you're using your own tissue.
Okay, and can you sort of, I still get confused by all the different terms, so tram flap versus deep flap. I mean, can you explain that to our listeners?
Yeah, so the tram flap and the deep flap are the most, arguably, but the best reconstructions that we have today. The tram flap is going to be the more traditional way to do it. Basically, that's an acronym for the transverse rectus abdominis mycutaneous flap. And so what you're doing is you're using that lower abdominal tissue along with the muscle. Now, with the deep flap, basically what that is it's the deep inferior epigastric perforator flap, and what you're doing is it's microsurgical procedure. So you're sparing the muscle.
Okay.
And so it's a muscle-sparing procedure. You're using the same tissue. However, it's a more complex reconstruction because you're dissecting that muscle or dissecting the vessel away from the muscle, leaving the abdominal wall integrity in place.
So these women have to have a certain amount of belly fat, right? Enough belly fat to make a breast.
Correct, yes.
Or maybe two breasts. Can you do double deeps or not?
Yes, yeah. That's a pretty common thing that we can do.
Okay. So there's obviously a very extensive evaluation that you have to go through with that particular patient, body habitus, et cetera. in order to help that patient decide what sort of reconstruction is best for her.
Exactly. Yeah, it's obviously a much a bigger procedure, much more complex procedure, the tissue available and everything like that, though.
Okay.
But what we're hearing are there are lots of options out there.
Yes.
So, and there's not just one. So that makes this topic even more confusing. So you're listening to Dr. Talk on Money Radio 1510 AM 99.3 FM, and we are talking about breast cancer and reconstructive surgery. Remember, you can join the conversation on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Dr. Talk or join us on hashtag Dr. Talk. We will be right back after the break.
As we reach the bottom of the hour, we pause for a look at the world's news. Then we're back with Money Talk. We're Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM.
Police source tells the Associated Press that Greek authorities have detained four suspected terrorists, including one who could be the man wanted as the alleged ringleader of a terror cell in Belgium. Meanwhile, there are increased numbers of troops on the streets of Belgium in the wake of anti-terror raids. Correspondent Phil Black describes the move as a different security posture.
Certainly very visual, and you can't help but see it. As I say, very striking. It'll be this way for at least the next week or so, and then they will examine it to determine whether or not these sorts of measures are still required. It'll be under constant review during this time.
It is the first time in 30 years that authorities used troops to reinforce police in Belgian cities. A second person has died after a shooting at a mall in central Florida. One victim's in the hospital with a gunshot wound. One of those killed is believed to be the shooter, but it has not been confirmed. The mall was evacuated and police said no other threats were located. I'm Molly Page.
Hold everything. The Store More, Save More event is now at the Home Depot, with more ways to hold more stuff for less. Like the Husky 20-gallon tote for only $19.97. Heavy duty, with soft grip latches and room for everything from power tools to camping gear. It's right at home in the garage, and it also fits nicely in any budget. Let's do this at the Store More, Save More event going on now. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only while supplies last.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
This show is brought to you by Discount Tire. We carry the best selection of tires and wheels at everyday low prices.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk and use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. We are here in the studio today with Dr. Belinda Barclay White, my co-host, myself, Dr. Bordinko, and we have two other breast-related physicians joining us today, sharing with us their expertise and giving advice to our listeners today. But we also have something unique. We have actually a breast cancer patient in the studio today, and I'd like to welcome Deborah on the air, and thank you for taking time on your Saturday to join us at Dr. Talk.
Well, thank you for having me today, because this is quite a passion in the last year for me.
Well, and I have to tell a story as how you came to be here, right?
Right.
So you came into my office last week with this beautiful plant, actually coming to thank me for referring you to these two and how well the whole thing had gone. And I said, this is ironical, but I'm actually doing a radio show with Dr. Andres and Dr. Walker next week. Would you be prepared to come in and tell us about your experience? Because hearing about the experience from your side of things is very important to all of us, I think.
Yes, and I started this whole journey. It happened last May, 2014, and it was the same thing, go in for your typical mammogram. Well, I was one of those people that my anxiety level would always skyrocket before I would go into her office. And that's how I ended up going to Dr. Barclay White in the first place, because I needed some place where I didn't have to wait a week to have that phone call. And so Dr. Barclay White was able to give me information immediately, and I've been going to her for the last 5 years, so this was just a typical time. I go in, I have my mammogram done, and she calls me into her office, and she says, well, I have to show you something. And she pulled up my screen. She said, I found some calcification that wasn't there a year ago. And, of course, my first question says, what does that mean? And then she went into explaining what needed to be done and different types of calcification and that. And then she said, I asked her at that time, what is your recommendation? And she said to me, well, I can see you in 6 months or we can do a biopsy. And I have learned through this whole journey to be extremely proactive about your own health. And I looked at her and I said, I want a biopsy. She was able to do the biopsy on May 8th and said, I'll let you know the information the following day. I got the following call from her the next day, and she said, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that the calcification turned out to be nothing. The bad news is that they found an atypical tissue cell that I needed to have looked at. And again, I said, what are my options? And this is how I end up meeting these two other fabulous surgeons that came into my life. And she goes, my recommendation is to Dr. Lisa Walker, which then ended up being my gynecologist's recommendation 2 days later. And I said, I'm on it. I have my appointment. So I went from May 9th to May 22nd to my first appointment with Dr. Walker. And, you know, I hear everybody says that you need to go out for second opinions and that. But what was amazing to me is that the first time I met her, we sat down. She didn't rush me in the office. She didn't rush me out. We sat and we literally had conversation for over 45 minutes about what needed to be done, where do I go from here, and what do I do with my life right now. And so her first thing was, well, slow down. You know, we need to look at everything. And the recommendation was to go in to have another biopsy done, which I did on June 2nd. And, you know, I was feeling pretty good because according to both Dr. Barclay White and Dr. Walker, this is, you know, not a tissue that needs to normally be worried or concerned about. And then you get that phone call on June 5th, and we're going through all the thing, and Dr. Walker said, I have to tell you, though, you have DCIS. And I'm like, what's DCIS? And she said, ductal carcinoma in situ, and it's a form of breast cancer. I don't think I paced a house so quickly and so fast in my life as I did at that time. And we spent a few minutes talking about it, and I said, where do I go from here? And it was what do I do next? What do I do next? And so I made an appointment to see her the following week. But also at that time, I said, I want a name of a plastic surgeon. You know, and she's like, okay. So then she gave me Dr. Andre's number and phone number and that. And then I also went. So the following week, I had a follow-up from my surgery of the diagnosis and to meeting Dr. Andres and trying to figure out where I would go from there. With my meeting with Dr. Walker, again, she went through every detail, everything you could go from the lumpectomy, which was one of the options I had. The reason I was so lucky to have options is because I got on it immediately, got in and got the work done, you know.
And it sounds like for you, the journey was pretty quick. I mean, you were able to get into the people you needed to see the right professionals quickly and expeditiously, and you got a good team around you immediately.
Absolutely. And that was, I think, what made me not go back and get a second opinion, is that everybody was working so well together and everything followed quickly. So, and I have to say, when I met Dr. Walker, I just trusted her. You know, I just had that incredible trust that she was going to lead me down the right road here and that I was going to be okay. I had to give up that and be peaceful about it because, let's face it, hearing that you have breast cancer is the scariest thing in your life. And I didn't know whether to cry about it, constantly get upset. And I finally decided I'm going to take hold of this and just listen to what my doctors had advice they had to give me and listen to their advice and then take what I felt was best for me.
And once again, I want to remind our listeners, you caught your breast cancer very early, so you had a lot of options that were offered by these two fine surgeons to you because you were doing your screening mammograms, you were staying on target with that, and it was found very small and very early. And that's one of the messages I think we want to keep resonating to our listeners as well, is the importance of finding someone, what you said, you can trust Dr. Barclay White in that realm, which is the first step. And I think that's really important for our listeners to understand as well.
Well, what also was important, too, is that I didn't have a lump. You know, they kept telling me, you know, did you have a mass? I didn't have any of those that showed up on the mammogram. I just had the calcifications that were the introduction to everything. So that when I went to see Dr. Walker, again, she didn't find a lump necessarily, you know, and so I went in for the biopsy, and then the biopsy came back with the tissue. She said next to where they actually did the biopsy was where they found the tissue.
So I just to clarify, you had something called atypical hyperplasia, which we know on an excisional biopsy, 10% of the time only, will be converted to ductal carcinoma in situ because it's considered a pre-cancer, right?
Correct.
So yours was found actually even earlier almost than I could have found it on the mammogram because the calcifications in you were not the problem. It was the tissue surrounding the calcifications. So if you hadn't had those actually benign calcifications, we wouldn't have ever seen that.
Oh, exactly. Or if I had waited 6 months later to go on back for the mammogram in 6 months, who knows what we would have found at that particular time.
Right.
So let's talk about what plastic surgery was able to offer you. You know, you had a great experience with Dr. Walker, and she was leading you down the path of this is how we're going to address and treat your breast cancer. But you immediately went to, I need a name of a good plastic surgeon.
I did. And I had already decided in my head that I was pretty much going to go and have the mastectomy done. Because I knew, according to Dr. Walker, if I had done the lumpectomy, I would have gone in every 6 months for mammograms, and I would have had to done radiation and possibly gone on medication and seen an oncologist. And I just knew that every time I go in for mammograms, I would be, you know, so concerned and really very, very, the anxiety level would have been incredible. So I had decided that I was going to have the mastectomy, and I decided to do a bilateral mastectomy. So I went in to see Dr. Andres, and he was sitting there. He went through all the, you know, first of all, they show you books of different things to do, and he went through all that needed to be done. And as he discussed the flaps and that kind of surgery that I could have had done, I thought about that too, but I end up doing where I end up having expanders put in and then eventually having the implants.
So tell our listeners how, when Deborah walked in your office, you know, this is a woman who's been given in 3 or 4 weeks time, this diagnosis, she's going down a new journey of breast cancer. What did you think and how did you approach this?
I think one of my jobs as a plastic surgeon is obviously just to educate the women in terms of their options for breast reconstruction, the types of reconstruction, the risks and benefits, and just help them together that we can make a good decision of what's going to be the best option for her. Sometimes women choose not to do any reconstruction. Sometimes they choose to do reconstruction, and at least they have the options of knowing that. Just like what Deborah was saying, you know, I talk about the implant reconstruction, the flap reconstruction, and then again, just given everything, given the recovery time, given the amount of tissue that she has, the physical examination, just everything together, we make a decision, and she decided to do the implant-based reconstruction.
And I was very, very pleased with it. You know, when you're a woman trying to decide what to do and you look at yourself and going, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have this removed. I'm going to have my breast removed. You want to be able to have those options and be able to do it. And at first, I wasn't going to have anything done. You know, I was just going to have my surgery and that. And then Dr. Walker said, no, you're young. You need to think about having reconstruction done. And that's what led me to Dr. Andres. And I went in, and again, he explained everything to me, the procedures we were going to go. You know, nobody masked what the journey was going to be like. Nobody said this was going to be an easy job. But every one of these doctors made it easier for me because they explained it and all that. I would go in every 2 weeks after I had the surgery and had the expanders put in to have fills. Again, anytime I had questions or concerns, I just asked him. I just feel that I was so lucky because everybody explained the whole procedures to me, and I was able to walk through this journey pretty quickly and nicely done. And the thing that got me through this is Dr. Andres told me, he said, I'm going to make you look beautiful. And you're thinking, how can you make me look beautiful? I did, in my mind. How can you make me look beautiful when I'm going to absolutely lose my breasts and everything, and I'm going to have scars? And how do you make this make me feel like a woman again? And needless to say, I'm there. And, of course, I've had wonderful support from my family and my husband, who tells me every day I look beautiful. And it's very minimal. My scars are minimal. I look at them, and I thank God every day that I've been able to have all these incredible people in my life that have pushed me along this journey. And, you know, I'm coming to the end. You know, unfortunately, Dr. Walker has to see me twice a year for the next 5 years, and Dr. Andres. But, you know, I'm lucky. You know, I'm one of those lucky people that had people that got me to the right places.
And I think you bring up, it's so important because patients differ so much in what they want. I mean, another patient might have done exactly the opposite to you, done a small lumpectomy, you know, maybe a localized radiation, and being happy with that. And that's where I think, Lisa, you're so good with the patients, because you do take time to explain that and you listen to them. You don't have a sort of formula for this patient gets that.
No, absolutely. I mean, there are sometimes decisions that I have to make, and so it's always nice that I'm not the one making
yes.
the decision, that I can just present the options and take, you know, the patient down each path. And then, you know, I always tell them at some point one path or the other is going to fit best for them. And, you know, it isn't something that they have to make an immediate decision on. You know, they can take time to explore each pathway and eventually, you know, which one fits best.
Exactly. So we give the power back to the patient is what happens.
All right. We'll be coming back after the break with our myth versus fact section. You're listening to us on Dr. Talk, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM Money Radio. And remember, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dr. Talk.
Driving down the road, the last thing you want to think about is tires. Trust Discount Tire to get you up to speed with the right tire for your vehicle. We carry the world's best brands of tires, all at everyday low prices. At Discount Tire, we're not just about tires, we're about people. We'll get you the right tire for your vehicle to help keep you safe on the road. Stop by any Discount Tire store for a free air pressure and tire safety check. Your low price journey starts here. Discount Tire.
Join board-certified and personal physician Dr. Carrie Bordinko every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. on Money Radio 1510 AM and 99.3 FM for Dr. Talk, where we put healthcare back in your hands. Each week, we'll have a full panel of nationally known medical experts as guest speakers, taking an in-depth look at the issues that affect us all and matter most. Tune in this Saturday at 1 p.m. for Dr. Talk.
Your healthcare, your well-being, and your life. Now back to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordinko, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. To join the conversation, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Dr. Talk. And use the hashtag Dr. Talk. That's facebook.com/Dr. Talk. Now, here's your hosts, Dr. Bordinko and Dr. Barclay White.
Welcome back to Dr. Talk. We have in the studio with us Dr. Andres, who is plastic reconstructive surgery, Dr. Lisa Walker, who specializes in breast surgery, and we have a grateful patient, I think it's fair to say, who is with us, Deborah, today, who has also given us her story. We just before the break, we were talking about Deborah's experience, but a question came up. Can you explain a little bit about the difference between reconstructive surgery, where you usually have to lose the nipple, right, and a plastic surgery where they don't have a history of breast cancer, where patients keep their nipples. What do you do about that nipple reconstruction, or how do you reconstruct the nipple? And is it necessary to reconstruct the nipple?
That's a good question. In terms of the nipple reconstruction, a lot of times, as we know, the areola and the nipple is part of the breast. So depending on what the breast surgeon does, if they remove the nipple areola complex, that's obviously excised there, and then we can reconstruct one later on. So basically what I do is I just reconstruct the nipple by taking the patient's scar and the tissue, making a little flap of tissue, giving them a nipple projection. And then ultimately what we do after that is then we just tattoo the areola. So I just do that in the office. It takes maybe 20 minutes to just tattoo the areola back on there. And at least what my patients tell me is that when they have just the semblance of a nipple areola complex, it hides the scar. Coming out of the shower, just seeing the nipple reconstruction there, or looking in the mirror, just really gives them just a completeness and a wholeness that they've, at least what they tell to me.
So Deborah, I might just ask you one question: Are you going to undergo nipple reconstruction? Did you decide to do that? Because some of my patients decide not to do that.
I haven't decided yet, and that's one of the conversations I will have with Dr. Andreessen at my next appointment. I didn't decide that I would definitely do the tattooing because that was something that I thought I could do. But the nipple part came in extra and he and I will have that conversation about having it when I go see him next.
And I would like to just address when Dr. Walker is doing a operation for cancer, there is an option of a so-called nipple-sparing mastectomy, which I'd like you to talk about, Lisa, because there's quite a lot of controversy surrounding that.
Sure. Over the last decade or so, we've moved into consideration to keep the entire skin envelope when we do a mastectomy. So prior to that, we've been doing what we call skin-sparing mastectomy. So even though we remove the nipple complex, we were still leaving the majority of the skin, and that's something we've been doing for about two decades. But over the last decade, people questioned why. Why do we need to remove the nipple? And we know there is some ductal tissue in the nipple. There is a very small risk of getting cancer in the nipple. But overall, from a cancer standpoint, it has been found to be fairly safe. And there are criteria. Not everyone will be candidates for nipple sparing. So today, fortunately, many women are offered nipple sparing as long as they meet the cancer criteria. We can offer them that, and so they don't have to have the reconstruction at a later date. But for those women who do require that the nipple be removed, then Dr. Andres can go ahead and reconstruct later on if they feel, they want the nipple reconstructed.
And one of the other we alluded to earlier in the show, and we really kind of glossed right over it, was a specialty procedure that Dr. Andres does here in the Valley, the only one in the Southwest, I understand, called the DIEP. I don't know what that stands for.
It's a type of breast reconstruction. Basically, the DIEP is an acronym for the Deep Inferior Epigastric Perforator Flap. So it's a microsurgical flap. And basically, just in a nutshell, what we do with that is the flap in general is taking tissue from the lower belly, just like doing a tummy tuck. You're taking that tissue. You're taking the vessel from within the rectus abdominis muscle, which is one of the muscles in the belly. And we take that whole tissue, go inside, and put it up into the breast area. And then under a microscope, we connect the flap to the native blood vessels in the chest area and reconstruct a breast that way by using the patient's own tissue. So it's a nice procedure to do for many women. The flap itself is good, especially for those patients that have had radiation to their chest, simply because then you're just replacing the damaged radiated tissue with some good, healthy, vascularized tissue up in the breast area, which really makes a big difference for just the supple and the aesthetic appearance of a breast.
Yes, and that can often be done after a failed reconstruction,
correct,
right?
Correct, yep.
After radiation
exactly.
treatment, yes. So we probably need to get on to our myths versus facts. And the first myth that I would like to address, because I hear it every day, several times a day, I cannot have breast cancer because no one in my family has ever had it.
We're going to let you answer that myth because you are the expert in this.
Well, I was hoping Lisa was going to answer that. But no, actually, it is definitely not true. Unfortunately, 75% of newly diagnosed breast cancer is in women that have no family history. So definitely a myth.
And I'm gonna segue right onto that myth with the next one, which is everyone who has a positive BRCA1 or BRCA2, or some people call it the BRCA gene, test result will get breast cancer. Who wants to tackle that one? Dr. Walker.
So that's definitely not true. There's definitely penetrance issues. You know, not everyone who carries the gene will get breast cancer. And there's many factors that they actually look in. So you can't just say, oh, I carry the BRCA1. There's a lot of factors that they look at to actually give a percentage. But the risks can be anywhere from like 40 to 80% of folks who carry the gene can get breast cancer. So a lot of factors besides just carrying the gene that they look at to give that statistic of what their probability is to get breast cancer.
So like always, sitting down with your primary care physician, if they're ordering that gene or if you're getting it through a center like BreastNet or through your imaging center, talk to somebody who knows something about the genomic profile and the risks mm-hmm. associated so that you get good counseling mm-hmm. before you go off and start making radical decisions about your breast health.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a handful of very good genetic counselors who know what to do with that information and can really help, you know, guide the patient. So,
yeah, Angelina Jolie was really brought this to the forefront, and a lot of women think that if you've got the gene now, you've got to have, you know, bilateral mastectomies, and that's really not true. There are other options out there.
Sure. And I have patients who we know are gene carriers who elect to, you know, who do get breast cancer, who elect to keep their breast and do a lumpectomy. So even once they have a diagnosis of breast cancer, it doesn't commit them to that surgery. There's still options for them.
Okay. So MRI is better than mammography because it finds more cancer. Well, you and I can probably both address this, right, Lisa? But you, from the post-operative point of view, or at least pre-operative planning, but MRI is more sensitive. It does find more cancers. The downside is it finds more benign disease as well, which ends up being biopsied because all MRI is looking at is blood flow. So any area of abnormal blood flow has to be biopsied and most of the time isn't cancer. So very important, if you're going to have an MRI, go to somebody that does a lot of MRI because you're much less likely to get a false positive and end up with an unnecessary biopsy.
Certainly our high-risk patients, you know, we like to look at MRI in our high-risk patients, but, you know, I agree. I don't think everyone who has a diagnosis of breast cancer needs an MRI.
No. Absolutely.
Well, unfortunately, we have about 15 more myth versus facts questions that we're not going to have time to get to today on the show, but we are going to be continuing our breast cancer show with a second segment, talking more and helping our listeners feel empowered when they get the diagnosis of breast cancer. What can they do? What are their treatment options? And today we've given them a lot of good options, from that initial surgical evaluation or the fine needle biopsy to options within the plastic surgery reconstructive world, which I don't think a lot of people are aware how many options there are. So we're going to be posting some of this information on our Facebook page. So take a look, join us on Facebook. And we will also be linking to some of the websites for both of our guests in the studio today as well, if you want to reach out and connect with them if you live in the Phoenix Valley area. So thank you for joining us on another show of Dr. Talk. We always appreciate you taking the time out of your Saturday. And remember, you can blog with us also on hashtag Dr. Talk. We will hope to have you tune in again next week, next
for
Saturday.
Part two of breast
part
cancer.
Part two, breast cancer. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Dr. Talk with Dr. Barclay White, a board-certified radiologist, and Dr. Bordico, a board-certified doctor of internal medicine and personal physician. If you missed any part of this show, please go to moneyradio.com and listen to the audio archive. For additional information or to have your questions answered live on the air, send an email to drtalkaz@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in to Dr. Talk this and every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Money Radio 1510 and 99.3 FM. The information and opinions expressed in this broadcast are intended to address specific questions asked or situations described on this program and are not designed to constitute advice or recommendations as to any disease, ailment, or physical condition. You should not act or rely upon any information contained in this broadcast without seeking the advice of your personal physician.
If you have any questions about the information or opinions expressed during this broadcast, please contact your doctor.
The Best After 50 Expo in the East Valley is coming soon. The Walgreens Love and Life After 50 Expo includes over 60 exhibitors in a fun and informational day hosted by Danny Davis on Wednesday, January 28th at the Mesa Convention Center. If you're over 50, this is the premier event you don't want to miss. The day's events and parking are free and include entertainment by the popular Duttons and Freddie G. Elvis. Hourly drawings for door prizes include $100 cash at 10, 11, and noon. So come join in on the fun at this year's Walgreens Love and Life After 50 Expo, January 28th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Mesa Convention Center. Sponsors include Walgreens, Scan Health Plan Arizona, CapTel, The Hartford, and Grandparents.com. For more information, go to loveandlife.com. That's LOVINLIFE.com and click on Expo.
Money is what we talk about. We're Money Radio 1510, KFNN Mesa Phoenix, and 99.3 FM K257C.